The Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism yesterday released its report on the health concerns associated with frack sand mining in Wisconsin. And we will discuss the issue with a reporter and with a state senator in this first hour of the show. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on this Monday, October the 7th. It is now 8 minutes past 6 o'clock. There are now about 100 sand mine facilities in Wisconsin. They bring jobs and money into small communities, but the number of frack sand mines grows in the state, so do questions about the effects on public health. Tegan Wendland with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism looks at a byproduct of the process, dust.
Frances Sales lives in New Auburn, which has 5 sand mine facilities within a 4-mile radius. She says the community has changed since the sand companies moved in, and so has her life.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is your place, huh?
Yes, it is.
And it looks like you swept it today.
Yes, I did.
But what does it usually look like in here?
Sand. Sand. Lots of sand.
Sales, a retired nursing assistant who has lived in New Auburn for 25 years, says she's worried about how the dust could be affecting her health. Her asthma has gotten worse, and though she's considered moving, her family can't afford to. UW-Eau Claire professor Crispin Pierce says there is some cause for concern. Long-term exposure may pose a risk, and the most dangerous dust is invisible.
We know that the small particles that are generated from sand mining and operating things like sandblasting are really quite toxic. They cause silicosis, they cause lung cancer, they cause cardiovascular disease. Now with the proliferation of mines, we don't have a lot of good information about people living or working or traveling near sand mines.
Pierce is trying to fill holes in the research himself, but his methods are controversial. He uses small, low-cost monitors instead of industrial ones and sets them up wherever landowners let him. He says that while the DNR is monitoring some of the frack sand sites, it's not enough. There are only 13 monitors for about 100 mines and processing plants. Some activists say the industry has grown so fast, the government hasn't been able to keep up in protecting people from its potential impacts. But DNR Air official Jeff Johnson says that while his agency has added a few new frack sand positions, it still doesn't have the money to research health impacts.
We mainly focus on inspections at major sources of air pollution, so foundries, your power plants, things of that nature. A lot of the industrial sand mines are what we would term minor sources, and unfortunately we didn't have a whole lot of funding in that part of the program.
Dwayne Wilkie is Environmental Health and Safety Manager at Superior Silica in New Auburn. As he walks through the plant, he says his facility is doing enough to keep dust down. Workers change the plant air filters, and they keep piles of sand wet so it doesn't blow away.
My daughter is 15. She goes to school in New Auburn. I would never do anything to harm the air quality, to harm my own daughter in the school.
State Senator Kathleen Vinehout says Superior Silica might be doing a good job reducing the chances of blowing sand, but the problem is that the DNR doesn't enforce standards like this for the industry as a whole, which is why she's proposing legislation to fund more DNR inspectors.
What we need is monitoring at the edges of the mines and a continuous monitoring, so it's not just one time, but there's continuous information that we're receiving on what the problems are on a particular site.
In the meantime, Vinehout says Wisconsin should look to neighboring states for guidance. The Minnesota Department of Health has set up a guideline to protect people from the dust, and the University of Iowa plans to study the potential health risk for communities near the mines. In Wisconsin, EOG Resources, a private company, is studying air quality at 4 of its facilities. The company declined to comment on the study. Preliminary results, though, show low concentrations of the dust. Vinehout and State Representative Chris Dano are working on legislation this session to increase funding and staffing for the DNR. Tegan Wendland, Wisconsin Public Radio.
We will discuss the health concerns over the silica dust produced by the frac sand mining process this hour, and we'll welcome your questions and your experiences too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine, and joining me now is another reporter at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, Allison Durr. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So just to clarify, you wrote the written piece on the health concerns over frac sand mining, and Tegan did the radio piece.
That's correct.
All right. So let's follow up a little bit on what we just heard there. You interviewed this couple from Western Wisconsin for your piece, and they said that they would shovel out at least a shovel full of dust every day from their house. How far away were they from a mine?
I don't know the exact distance, but New Auburn is a pretty small community, and it has two processing plants on its edges. So it's pretty close to those facilities.
And did you find that their situation is fairly typical of others in nearby communities?
You know, I think that there is concern, throughout that region about potential health effects from silica dust. And, and stories about, having dust in their houses is not necessarily uncommon. Obviously they don't represent everybody in that region, but there definitely is concern.
Yeah, and we heard that Frances was concerned that her asthma had gotten worse. Is there any scientific evidence that the silica dust would worsen asthma?
Asthma, I am not entirely sure. It's so there have been studies in occupational settings that show when workers have been exposed for to significant levels over long periods of time that there are health effects like silicosis, that's a scarring of the lungs, and lung cancer. So there are definitely health effects that come from inhaling respirable crystalline silica, but from the health experts I've talked to, it can be difficult to determine kind of what's causing it.
So there's research has been done on occupational exposure to this silica dust, but not so much when it comes to non-occupational exposure?
Right.
Yeah, so why hasn't the state of Wisconsin taken on such research?
So what I heard from the Department of Natural Resources and the State Department of Health Services is that there, is just kind of, for one, a lack of resources when it comes to looking into whether or not residents are actually exposed to this dust. But they also argue that it's, current methods to regulate, particulate matter, and crystalline silica is kind of a subset of that. They argue that current methods are pretty sufficient to protect public health.
Are there any plans to do anything further on this?
So the Department of Natural Resources did receive two more positions funding for two more positions, I should say, in the 2013-15 budget. And from one person who I spoke with at the DNR, they plan to increase inspections at the smaller facilities with those resources.
We are talking about the potential health impact of frac sand mining in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions, your concerns, your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page the piece that our guest wrote, Allison Durr. She's a reporter at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. The center has released its report on the health concerns of the dust produced by the frac sand mining process, a report released yesterday. And we are going to talk about it this hour. Your questions welcome after the break. We'll also be welcoming in State Senator Kathleen Vinehout about how frac sand mining has affected her district and what she thinks the state ought to do about these potential health concerns coming up after 6:30. Despite the promise by some that it will bring jobs to Wisconsin, some municipalities are holding off on opening frac sand mines until the health effects of frac sand mining is better understood. An investigative reporter is with us during this hour to discuss what those health concerns are and what the state is doing about them. Coming up after 6:30, we will talk with State Senator Kathleen Vineout. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, October the 7th. We are talking with Allison Durr, who is a reporter at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, which released its report on these health concerns yesterday. And we have posted a link to that piece on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's entitled, Frac Sand Health Fears Grow as Business Booms. Residents want the state to do more to study the risk from silica dust. Before we go to the phones, Allison, I just want to make sure I understand. What are the potential health concerns of silica dust?
So in worker populations, they've found silicosis, scarring of the lung, other things like lung cancer. But you know, when it comes to residents, it's kind of hard to know. Without knowing exposure, it's hard to know what health effects could potentially result.
I see. So if a worker gets gets this scarring of the lungs, what happens? What are the symptoms?
Trouble breathing. As far as I know,
is it fatal?
It can be. It's irreversible. So it's, you know, definitely an issue.
Yeah, so, and are there agencies that are responsible for regulating these health concerns?
There's, you know, some point to the Department of Health, others point to the Department of Natural Resources as kind of a mechanism for preventing the dust from actually reaching people. But it's kind of hard to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have some callers, so we're interested if you, too, fear health concerns from frac sand mining dust, or if you have a question about the findings of this investigative report. Our first caller is Dee in Jackson County. Hi, Dee.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have lived next to a sand mine for 35 years, within 5 miles, and I have raised 3 children from infancy to adulthood with absolutely no health concerns. There have been more dust in the air from farmers doing spring and fall tillage than has ever been in the air from the sand mine.
Mm-hmm.
And the sand mine actually regulates, and they're regulated by MSHA, which is the National Mining Safety Council. So there are regulations on the workers and that they must wear a respirator in certain areas of the plant under certain conditions. So they are monitoring and mitigating dust exposure to the workers.
Yeah, we're talking also, though, Dee, but the dust exposure to you, who's monitoring that? And you're not concerned about that?
I am not concerned. I've been exposed to it for 35 years. There has been no dust from the sand mine. And I live within 5 miles of the sand mine.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what about, is Dee's experience something you found in your reporting?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely are cases. As I said, you know, the couple who I featured in the piece don't represent every case. But there is, you know, that concern is very real and it is there. So I think, you know, I think both sides are, you know, their experiences on both sides of this issue.
Mm-hmm. So what the couple that you interviewed for the piece, what have they done to try to get some sort of resolution or relief from the problem that they're experiencing?
As far as I know, they haven't necessarily taken steps to kind of mitigate the risk to themselves. What I can say is that the school in New Auburn did install new air filters just as kind of a precautionary measure. So there, you know, there has been kind of, you know, action in that area to mitigate health effects.
Mm-hmm. And Dee says that she lives within 5 miles of a frac sand mine. the couple you interviewed was closer than that?
Oh, yeah. They, I mean, I think probably within a few blocks.
Yeah. Any comment on her observation that there's more dust kicked up by farmers in her area than the frac sand mines?
That's definitely something that that I have heard. You know, silica is something that is, you know, kicked up, and it's pretty common just in the general environment. So that's kind of another challenge in figuring out, you know, is there a risk from these facilities?
Mm-hmm. And again, to clarify, is there an agency, is the DNR, do they have some sort of monitoring devices up around the home, for instance, of the couple you interviewed?
No. There are 13 monitors in kind of on the border of certain facilities. But there aren't monitors, no, next to people's houses.
But near some facilities.
Right.
Not all.
Right.
Yeah. And the monitors that they do have near the facilities are not showing levels above a level of health concern.
Right. That's correct. Mm.
Let's go to Dan in Drummond next. Hello, Dan.
Yeah. Although this doesn't have to do with the tracks mining, a friend of mine many years ago, they were doing work on the road in Millen where they were breaking down granite pieces that caused minute dust in the area. And he did have asthma, and he had to, there was no kind of air conditioning, so he kept his windows open. And because of this dust, his asthma was really affected really bad. And he was only like, he was less than a half mile to three quarters of a mile away from where they were working.
Yeah. So thanks, Dan. It's not the frac sand silica dust. It was granite dust that his friend was affected by. But so I don't know if it necessarily is applicable to your investigation. But it is. Are people concerned enough to be wearing respiratory masks or anything like that?
I haven't seen people not mm-hmm. wearing respiratory masks.
Yeah. We have Gary on Facebook who says, it looks like whatever the level of regulation there is now is working, and any increase is not needed at this time. Once actual measurements, rather than emotional speculation, show that greater regulation is needed, the resources of the state could probably be spent better elsewhere. Well, I guess I'd like to turn that comment to you, Allison. And does your reporting show that the level of regulation is working?
You know, it's definitely something that I've heard from from people in the industry, that there are a lot of regulations that that cover non-metallic mining, which is frac sand mining is one of falls into that category. And, you know, what they've said is if something's going wrong, it's actually on the enforcement side of things.
So what does that mean, the enforcement side of things?
That enforcement isn't as good as it should be, that regulations aren't being enforced to the point that they should be.
All right. So the regulations don't necessarily need to be changed, but perhaps the question is, are the regulations being met because of a lack of enforcement?
Right.
Yeah, I see. Okay. So you did also write about one frac sand producer being among those seeking action on the issue of health. What action is being sought?
So EOG Resources is, they've got four facilities where they're monitoring for crystalline silica. And they were kind of the one that I chose to look at because they're taking action on this issue, and kind of they've got three monitors at four different plants, so a total of 12 monitors that are looking into whether or not there is an issue in terms of silica dust.
So again, this is the frac sand producer is concerned about the workers there.
So they're monitoring more ambient dust, which isn't, so that, I mean, that would kind of address more the issue outside of the plant.
Oh, so the frac sand producer is concerned about the amount of silica dust that's being kicked up.
They're looking into it. I mean, the company did decline to comment, so.
Okay. Let's go to Bob in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I teach people about asbestos, state certified classes about asbestos and silica. And asbestos are similar, although asbestos is a fiber. Now, the method of detection for human health will be human health, because it takes 10 to 30 years for the silicosis to develop.
Yeah, we have just less than a minute, Allison. The true health effects of something like this might not present themselves right away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks.
Allison Durr is a reporter at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, talking with us about her report on the health concerns of frac sand mining, specifically the silica dust that is kicked up in the process. We will welcome in State Senator Kathleen Vinehout coming up after we check the latest news. Senator Vinehout's district includes frac sand mining operations, and she'll talk about what she thinks ought to be done. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We just heard from a reporter from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism about its examination of the health concerns over frac sand mining. And now we'll get a reaction from a state senator from western Wisconsin, where there has been frac sand mining and a big frac sand mining boom over the past couple of years. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, October 7th. If you think that the state is or is not doing enough to monitor the potential health effects from the dust produced by frac sand mining, or if you have questions, please call 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And if you live near a frac sand mine and would like to share what that is like, we'd like to hear from you too. Our next guest is State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, a Democratic State Senator from Alma. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
I must ask you first, Senator Vinehout, about the news that we just heard this morning, that former Trek executive Mary Burke made it official this morning, announcing in a web video that she is running for the Democratic nomination to challenge Governor Scott Walker. You, too, have been named as a potential Democratic candidate in the gubernatorial race. Are you also going to run?
I'm doing a lot of homework, getting around the state, doing my best to figure out if enough support is there. I've received a lot of people who are encouraging me. I need until probably the beginning of the year to make the decision, but I wish Mary Burke the very best. Politics is fun. It's exhilarating. It's important. Running for office is a great education, and I think everybody should do it at least once.
Mm-hmm. One more, though. Do you think that a primary for the Democratic nomination for governor is going to help or hurt a Democratic candidate's chances?
I think it would probably help the Democrats. Right now, there is no heir apparent. There are a lot of people that want to be involved in the process all across the state. There's, unlike the recall election, there's a lot of time for people to get out there to get to know who the candidates are. And this is something that's part of democracy.
Well, let's get on to the issue at hand. There are residents, as you know, obviously, in especially in your district, that are concerned about the health effects of frac sand mining, specifically the silica dust that is kicked up in this process. Do these residents have reason for concern?
Oh, absolutely. There are many concerns that I've received from many of my constituents, some of whom have had lung problems or are worried about children possibly with lung problems. There is right now a lack of inspectors at the state level, so many of these facilities haven't been inspected, or they're only inspected for maybe just a day in a year or a day every 2 years. And as people know, conditions change, and if the practices to keep the dust down are not always followed, there can be a great deal of dust that comes off of the big piles of sand.
Yeah, the report indicates that there are, I guess, monitoring sites around some of these frac sand mining operations, and so far there has been no levels exceeding healthcare standards?
Well, the way that I read the article, it suggested that the monitoring that was being done was either not being done at the level of specificity that it needed to be done, or that there were inadequate monitoring sites. And this is definitely the complaint. These are the complaints that I hear from citizens that contact me. We are dealing with a substance that occupational health professionals know is a dangerous substance. And those companies are required to follow occupational health laws for their employees. The question is, what is the air that leaves the mine location? And obviously this varies. And there have been some scientists at the University of Eau Claire that have begun monitoring, but the funding for such monitoring is woefully inadequate.
Yeah. So what do you think needs to happen?
Well, I have advocated for legislation to increase the number of inspectors. I also believe that these inspectors need to be doing monitoring at the periphery of the site, which, to my knowledge, is very seldom done. And citizens need to continue to put pressure on the state to say that that although many laws exist, these laws are not being adequately enforced. And I have much anecdotal evidence of that, but have yet been unsuccessful in getting the state to fund these positions, even though the money is available in the Environmental Services Fund.
Yeah. So give us an example, a generic example, if you can, of anecdotal evidence that the monitoring isn't adequate.
I will tell you a little bit about a company up in Maiden Rock, and that company did have problems back in 2010. They did change some of their processes, but by the citizen complaints, that company responded, eventually changing some of its processes. But I don't have to go very far in western Wisconsin to see companies that haven't changed their processes. And this can go from photographs that people have sent me of the wind taking the sand from the big mines, from the big piles of sand at the mines, and then blowing into a neighborhood. It can be evidence of fine dust along the roads near the mine. Yesterday, I had a person tell me that they had a windshield that was sort of very finely being sandblasted, was the word that he used. So a lot of people have given me anecdotal information to say, Kathleen, there's a concern here. Please get the state to pay attention to it. But my efforts to increase the number of inspectors so far has fallen on deaf ears. The budget and the governor originally put in two new positions for inspectors. At the time that the DNR was questioned about this last summer, the summer of 2012, they said they needed 10 positions. By my calculation, at the end of the budget in 2015, we're going to need upwards of 30 positions. And of course, the budget covers the next 2 years. And right now, we're not anywhere near staffed up to the level we need to, just to enforce existing laws.
Yeah. State Representative Chris Dano from Trumbull introduced a bill in late August proposing the creation of 8 DNR positions to monitor the frac sand mining industry. What do you predict the fate of that bill will be?
Well, Chris and I are working on this together, and One of the things that I've done is found a funding mechanism for that bill. But obviously, it makes it easier to pass a bill if there is already a pot of money that's set aside for a purpose like this. Unfortunately, we're living in an era in the state capitol where if you have a D behind your name, it's very difficult to get a hearing, let alone get a bill passed. It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. I have been successful in getting a bill passed on the audit committee that eventually was taken up by the audit committee to deal with the Governor's Economic Development Corporation. But unless there's a big outcry, unless the population is very active in contacting their legislators, it's difficult to get this kind of a bill passed.
Well, I'm going to present to you a comment Gary on Facebook posted. I also presented it to reporter Allison Durr in our first half hour. He writes, "It looks like whatever the level of regulation there is now is working, and any increase is not needed at this time. Once actual measurements rather than emotional speculation show that greater regulation is needed, the resources of the state could probably be spent better elsewhere." What's wrong, if anything, with that sentiment?
First of all, we don't know if the monitoring, we don't know if the mines are exporting this sand-laden air. We don't have the information, and I think that if there was one single theme from the article that appeared yesterday, it was, we don't know the answer. When we're dealing with a substance that already is in the occupational health scientists' world of a dangerous substance, we have to be doing the monitoring. The state has an obligation to the people to make sure that those mines are not, there's not air that's coming out of those mines into the neighborhoods that is dangerous. And that monitoring simply isn't happening at the periphery of the mine, which is the work that was quoted in the article about the UWEC, that at least there are some projects that are happening on some mines, but not everyone, not everywhere, not every neighborhood. And remember, Joy, these mines, the number is exploding quickly, so we're looking at every month a new mine being sited, and we have mines right now in Trempealeau County that are trying to get out from under the countywide moratorium by annexing land into the city and getting the city to write an ordinance that's less strict than the county. There are several cities that already have mines. If we have mines near a residential area, the danger of the population suffering from that air that's dangerous when it comes off the mine, that we're looking at it even more, a situation that's even more likely to happen now that these mines are trying to get annexed into the city.
The Trempealeau County ban, talk just a little bit more about that moratorium. This is over concerns of not knowing the health effects.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Citizens in Trempealeau County, and remember, Trempealeau County is the epicenter of sand mining in North America. Trempealeau County has more sand mines than any other county in Wisconsin. In fact, they have roughly a quarter of all of the mines in the state. Citizens tried unsuccessfully several months ago and lost by one vote to get a moratorium passed for a year to stop the explosion of the increasing number of mines. But about 3 weeks ago, they were successful in a unanimous vote with three people that were pro-mine not voting because there were questions about conflict of interest that they had in the mines. The whole purpose of the moratorium was to give the people and the county in Trempealeau the time to understand the health effects, not just of one mine, but of the cumulative effect of mines in a single neighborhood. So I've been shown maps by the residents where we have subdivisions with small families and six or seven mines within a very close proximity to those subdivisions with small families. And that was the purpose of the moratorium. Unfortunately, there are two mines related
interests that are right now trying to get out from under this moratorium by annexing into the cities of Whitehall and Independence. There's roughly about a five-mile stretch that has beautiful hills and sand in those hills, and they're creating a very odd-shaped annexation to capture those mines into the cities to avoid the county ordinances and, right now, the county moratorium.
We are talking with State Senator Kathleen Vinehout. She is a Democratic state senator from Alma, talking about how the frack sand mining boom has affected her district and talking about the concerns that some residents have on the health effects of the silica dust that is produced in the frack sand mining process. Our discussion comes on the heels of a report, an investigative report from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism that was released yesterday. It is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we welcome your questions about frack sand health fears. The residents in that area want the state to do more to study the risk from silica dust and to monitor the levels of silica dust. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with State Senator Kathleen Vinehout about the possible health effects of frack sand mining. And we have a number of callers and limited time, so let me go straight to Joanne in Eau Claire first. Hello, Joanne.
Hello. Really enjoying the show. I really appreciate the work that Kathleen Vinehout is doing. I wanted to just say that I've been very interested in drinking water protection and the variation at the state level. And I found, for example, that in Wisconsin, the DNR has a lot of responsibilities, but in Minnesota, the Minnesota Department of Health handles drinking water protection. And I think this points to a very relevant issue related to frack sand, is that I don't think the DNR, even with a few additional positions, can really handle the task. I really think state-level health departments should be addressing this type of issue since it's so important for public health. And I think DNR is just way overextended.
Reaction to that, Senator Vinehout?
We do have a problem in Wisconsin in adequately monitoring groundwater because of the Great Lakes Compact. The part of the state that drains into the Great Lakes is better monitored than the western part and the southern part of the state that drains into the Mississippi River. These particular watersheds are exactly where we're talking about in the Driftless area. That is where that we've seen the proliferation of sand mines. So I agree with the caller that we need additional monitoring, and that I have heard many people who have told me about mines that are mining within the aquifer or very close to the aquifer. There was a documented case in the Toma Sparta area where a farmer found that his well went dry, and the mine redrilled the well and asked the farmer to sign a confidentiality agreement. That was a bit of a red flag to the citizens in that area. There was a very small community that's next to a very large 1,000-acre mine between Toma and Sparta. When they heard about the mine going in, they had shallow wells, and they were all advised by attorneys to take baseline measurements in those wells so that they could later use it in a lawsuit if the mine drained down the aquifer and the families were all left without water. There are two concerns. One is the proliferation of high-capacity wells, and the second is contamination of the groundwater. I think right now the legislature is beginning to understand that the first concern, the drawdown through high-capacity wells, is extremely pressing, and it's not only
related to the sand mines, but the sand mines have definitely made a difficult situation more complex. There is a bill right now in the legislature that has received some attention. It's called Senate Bill 302. It's a bill by Senator Kenzie, and it actually takes away some of the responsibilities of the Department of Natural Resources. So there needs to be, I believe, a public discussion of our water, the protections for our water, the legislation needed, and the public input into both that legislation and later decisions on where and whether or not additional high-capacity wells are approved. Now, right now, the Republicans are going exactly the opposite direction. Between two different pieces of legislation passed in 2011 and 2013, they've taken away the DNR's ability to be able to consider cumulative effects of high-capacity wells, and they've taken away citizens' ability to use that information in an appeal or some time of a court action. This is absolutely the wrong direction.
Let me take another call from Jim in West Bend. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, I have a question. The question I would ask if I resumed investigative reporting on this is, are some of the people who are opposed to this opposed actually to the silica mining or the sand mining, or is it the bigger issue, which is how that silica is being used in oil and gas exploration? Is that the root of how they're trying to show opposition to that?
Yeah, and we have just a minute to go. So is this opposition to possible health concerns from the frack sand mining, or that they don't want the sand used in the fracking process to extract a natural gas?
Western Wisconsin residents have just begun to learn about the fracking and how it's being used, how the sand's being used once it leaves Western Wisconsin. But most of the concerns that I receive from constituents are about something immediate happening in their neighborhood.
Yeah. So do you think that that the industry, frack sand mining industry, and your constituents can coexist safely?
I've often said that the mines need to be good neighbors. There are best practices that the mines can follow that would help with this problem. Some of the mines follow them, some of the mines don't. That being said, I definitely think there needs to be a balance between the tourism industry and the sand mining industry, and right now we've gotten out of that balance.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, a Democratic state senator from Alma. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. You can read more about the health concerns of frack sand mining on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.